Good morning, welcome back to Aliyah Yomi. Today we're going to be learning Acharei Mois Shishi, the sixth Aliyah in Parshas Acharei Mois. The topic of our Aliyah is forbidden relationships. The Aliyah is 16 Pesukim long, running from Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Vav to Chof Aleph. Let's take a brief overview of the Aliyah. The Torah tells us as an introductory Pasuk, Ya Ish Ish El Kol She'er B'Soroi, Lois Sikrevu Laga Lois Erva. Any person may not come close to anybody who is related to them. Any incestual relationship, one cannot even come close, legaloi serva, literally to reveal nakedness, says Hashem, I am Hashem. So this refers to all relationships in a family which are disallowed, both for the men and for the women. So we hear about a number of these examples. We talk about how a person cannot reveal the nakedness of their parents. There we talk about the wife of one's father, or from the man's side. That might not be his mother, but there's a prohibition. One's sister, whether it be the sister from father or mother, or both, as implied. We hear about the Bas Bincha, one's granddaughter, from the son or daughter. The Bas Eshes Avicha, the daughter of one's father's wife. So we're talking about a stepsister or half-sister. Then we hear about all the other different relationships which are mentioned in this Aliyah, all different aunts, all the different relationships which are disallowed. Towards the end of the Aliyah, we also hear about relationships which are disallowed in duality, meaning to say that although the Torah does not disallow polygamy, it does disallow marrying two sisters, as an example. We also hear then at the end of the Aliyah that El Isha benidas tumasa lo sikrav legalo servasa, that one cannot have a relationship with a woman during the period of menstruation. And we also hear about the prohibition on adultery, Eish samisecha, and we hear about the prohibition on mizaracho lo titein avir lamolech, not giving one's children over to molech, which is this form of polytheism, of child sacrifice. So a lot to think about over here. First question is what is the reason for all of this? Why is the Torah demanding all of this of us? So it would seem obvious today, in today's morals and societies and scruples, but not always was this obvious. Ibn Ezra points out that the human being is essentially a primate, is essentially a being who has desires. And if left up to their own devices and with no restraints or external rules, then that person would just basically go around having relationships with anybody that they wanted to. And in a certain sense, that human being would never be an independent choice-making, morally guided human being. It would simply be just a bigger primate who could create weapons, and therefore, they would be the victims of environment, because they would not be making any decisions in life. They would just be doing whatever it is they wanted, or with whoever they wanted. So this is about the human being that Hashem wants to cultivate, and that is a thinking, choosing human being. Choosing means choosing not to. And the Torah is going to tell us what are the things we should not be choosing. Similarly, the Ksav HaKabbalah, Yaakov Tzvi of Mecklenburg, pointed out the following, that if there were not these rules, then people would be lusting all day after their relatives, because a person is certainly at close quarters with their relatives, and they would essentially, all of family would fall apart because of this as well. The Bukhara Shor takes it further and saying not just would family fall apart, but society would be messed up and corrupted by such a life as well. The Torah Aruch quotes the Ramban, who says that that although there's no explicit reason, he quotes the Ramban Memor Nevuchim, who says it's to minimize moral licentiousness, lust, and being controlled by environment, as Ibn Ezra was talking about as well. But he also explains that it also would impact yichus. That means to say that if all these incestual relationships were allowed, then everybody would be related to everybody else in very complicated ways. And there would be prohibitions about who one could marry, who one's from, what's one's lineage, what's one's story. And ultimately, the Ramban concludes that it's a gzeiras hamelech. It's what Hashem wants, whether we understand it or we don't understand it. Rabbi Bachaya does point out that the beginning of Saliyah is really primarily about those in one's family. One is connected to them, related to them. He points out that one is allowed to marry those who are not in one's family. And so he points out that the further away we get from source, the more differentiated and therefore the more allowed. The closer it is to source, the more dangerous it is to mix up and mess around with. spiritually speaking. Very fascinating observation. Now, why is immorality described as gilui erva, revealing nakedness? So the Ibn Ezra points out that this is a euphemism. This is the when it talks about sikravu legalai serva, we are talking about physical relationships, but it is a euphemism. The Torah speaks euphemistically. It's interesting in today's society, whereas when it comes to political correctness, euphemism is very much in vogue. When it comes to morality, it is very much not in vogue, and the expletives and the way that certain relationships are discussed in plain sight, the euphemism has long ago been lost, unfortunately, in society. The Torah still demands of us euphemism when it comes to morality. Now, what is the issue of lois sikrav? You should not come close. It sounds like there's not just that you can't do these actions, but it's also about not coming close. The Klei Yakor quotes a number of Mefarshim who say that this refers to yichud. It's not just referring to not engaging in the actual physical act of intercourse, but we're talking about there is also, we're talking about the idea of don't get into any environment which could lead to anything. So therefore there is yichud. There is the prohibition of being together. It is man and woman, and there's specific laws as to who, what kind of environments are appropriate as well. It's interesting to note that the pasuk in Shir Hashirim in the seventh parak talks about the following image. It says, "Bitnech aremes chitim suga bashashanim." Your belly is like a heap of wheat, hedged around with lilies. What is that image of lilies or roses? What is this image? So the magician Shir Hashirim Rabba makes a very powerful observation. It says, imagine you have a husband, a wife. They've spent all their months and years courting each other, building up their lives, and then who bothers Zakekla? And finally, they get married. And they want to be together. V'hiyo meres like a shoshana aduma ra'isi, and she says, I saw a small little spot like a little red rose. V'parish menu yad. And because of that, because there's blood, because there's concern about being together, even if it's a small dot, they separate from each other. Migoram loy shelo yikrav lo. The Midrash asks, who made it that the two of them separated from each other? Eza kosel barzel yesh b'neim. What wall of iron separates them? Eza amud barzel yesh b'neim. What bar is between them? Eza nachash nashachoy. What snake bit him? Eza akrav akatzoy shelo yikrav lo. What scorpion is there that is standing between them? So he says, Divrei Torah, Shirakin Kashoshana. You know what stands between them? Is the words of Torah, which are soft like the petals of the rose, of the lily. That's what stands between them. There's no oversight, there's no policeman, there's no one in a marriage who's the auditor and seeing whether couples are together or not during the period of the month of menstruation. No. It's the morality which separates us. That's Suga Bashoshanim Hemdin. Bashoshanim. That's the power of this as well. The Gemara actually in Shabbos Daf Yud Gimel and Aleph to Amud Beis describes is discussing the notion of what's called harchakos, which means distances. That in the period of separation, when men and women are separate from each other at that period during the month, not only is it a separation from the actual physical relationship, but there is a number of distances that are also created as a reminder. There's many understandings as to what this can mean. The Gemara discusses where we get this from. And the Gemara goes on to describe a ma'aseh b'talmid echad, a story about a specific talmid, a student, Shishana Harbe. He was very well learned. Kara Harbe, he knew Torah Shemechsev as well. V'shimesh talmid echachamim Harbe, and he was involved as a student of many great sages. V'meis v'chatz yama, but he died very young. She says she brought his tefillin. She says it's written. In the end of the day, that you the Torah is your life and the length of your life, your longevity. My husband, he was so learned. He was so well versed. Why? Why did he die so young? Very hard question to answer. The Gemara says that nobody could answer her. And so Eliyahu, this is in the house of Eliyahu, spent time with her. He listened to her. So he says, during the time of separation, during the time of menstruation, how would the two of you behave together? He said, he would never touch me. The Gemara says, what about during the period of the Nikiyim, the Zion Nikiyim? She says, no, you know, we'd eat together, we'd sleep in the same bed, but no, we never never had a physical relationship. So Boris, he says, no, that's the pasuk in our aliyah. The pasuk says, El isha v'nidas tumasa lo sikrav, you can't come close. That means to say there needs to be separation. Until the time of mikveh, one is not allowed to do many, many things. Whether it be as simple things as passing directly, or eating out of the same plate, or sleeping with beds that are next to each other. All these things that are connected in the halacha, because there's a whole area in halacha. That's what's being described in the aliyah. The Torah makes its own siyagim, its own fences around certain things in order to protect them. And this is one of the places that it's learned about. In fact, perhaps one of the perspectives that one can understand this is that period of time where there are harchakos, where there are distances which are created, it's to actually enable people to understand that their intimacy is not just physical, but emotional too. There's other ways of connecting, not just through physical. Finally, why is molech at the end of the Zaliyah? What is molech precisely? Rashi says it was a type, according to the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Samach Daled, that this was a type of pagan worship in which a child would be handed to the priest and they pass the child through fires, now to two bonfires. Now, whether that refers to that the child was actually killed, or this was just a ceremonial service, matter of debate, but it is worthwhile noting that in the Phoenician excavations at Carthage, one of the large cities up the coast of Lebanon, which was a great Phoenician port, they found many, many urns of ashes in them, and inscribed on them on the outside was the Ugaritic form of the word MLK, not referring to Martin Luther King, but referring to Molech, because one of the Canaanites' gods was Molech, Molech, and they would, and certainly in history has shown that they would burn their children. Why is this here? Why is this part of our Aliyah? Rav Hirsch points out that the first part of Aliyah is describing to us that the power and the responsibility of begetting children must come through a moral channel. And so therefore, rearing children bears the same responsibility. Children are not dispensable from our own desires. And that's what the end of the Aliyah is saying. Don't think that because you have children, you have the right to get rid of them or remove them because they're in your way. That's not the Torah view at all. With this, we conclude the sixth Aliyah.